This morning is in Isaiah 61. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 3. This is a scripture that Jesus used to start his ministry. It's an interesting scripture because it's a proclamation. It's a bold proclamation. And what amazes me is when I think about it, because of the independence that Jesus Christ won on the cross for you and I, we all, you and I, can stand up and boldly proclaim these verses because now it's true in our life, just as it was true in the life of Jesus. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor. Our second reading is in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 3.
Corinthians.
And we're going to be reading from...
Corinthians.
I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. Apologize. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Sends the readings.
I'd like to invite the children to come down.
Yay!
You can go grab a seat, hon. Go grab a seat. Squeeze together. Oh, this was part of what she was going to give me. I forgot. There you go. Good. You can sit on the floor, too. Hi, honey. Give me five. Very good. Good morning. Are you good pretenders? Good. I want you to pretend that someone has put handcuffs on you and your hands are stuck together. Everyone, put handcuffs on. Stick your hands together. And now I'm going to ask you to explain what the word freedom means. What would freedom mean if someone would take the handcuffs off, right? So if I have my hands handcuffed together, tied together, I can't move them. But if someone sets me free, my handcuffs fall away. Good, that's freedom. I want to ask another one. I have a treat in here, okay? And I'm going to give it to you. All you have to do is give me a buck. Just give me a buck, I'll give it to you. Oh, no, you got to show me the money. Nice movie, I know you all thought of that right away. Show me the money. Now watch. If I give this... I gave it to him for free. Well done. That's two ways of understanding free. Handcuffs, free. Something you did not buy, but they gave it to you free. Now watch this. This is the last one. Free. Free to run around. And it's okay. Do not sweat the small stuff. When I start doing that, then you carry me away. All right. Last one. Watch this one. I gave him that for free, right? Now watch. I want you to give that away for free. No, don't give it to me. I want you to give it away to someone right now for free. Anybody you want. You pick. No, no. No, no. What I gave you in your hand. No, your hand. Yes, I gave that for free. Now I want you to give that away to someone for free. Anyone you pick. There you go. Now, there's a Bible verse that says, freely you have received, now freely give. Okay? You got that? Well, we're going to be talking about the word free and freedom today, and I want you to listen for it in the sermon. So we learn freedom sometimes means getting the handcuffs taken off. We learn free sometimes means somebody gives you something that you did not buy, that they just gave it to you for free. And we also learned God said if someone gave you something for free, you should also be willing to give it away for free. You got those three? Good. Now, because of that, I have treats for you. Now, listen carefully. You have to pick three of them. Just three. Okay? One you have to give away. One you have to share, and one you get to keep. You decide. All right? I'm going to count to 10 slow. So you all got to decide what you want real quick. Get in there quick. Grab three. One. Two. Grab three and go. Grab three and go. Run them back. You got to give one away. Grab three and go. That's right. They'll make it. You can rescue them. Yeah, well, you decide. Grab three, two, one. Grab another one, hon. Go grab one. Grab three. Get three and go. You can go back. But good. Go back. Well, that's close. Their numbers mean different things to different people. Grab three and then you have to go back. Go back by your parents. Go back by your parents. Grab three and go. Or seven. Or 12. Yeah, that's all right. We'll survive. And three more. Oh, there we go. Working. Well done, Mom. It's okay. We're a little bit gracious with that. Freedom, a good word or a bad word? You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Freedom, a good word or a bad word? If I'm free to love you, I'm also free to hate you. Freedom, a good word or a bad word? If I'm free to be kind, it also means I am free to be unkind. It's an interesting word, free, freedom. That word conjures up different concepts in people. Most of us like the one where I said, here's a piece of candy and I'm giving it to you for free. Of course, we want a car, a motorhome, you know, something a little bigger than a piece of candy, but we all begin to understand. You ever been free to succeed as well as free to? You like that freedom? Wouldn't you prefer to be insulated against it? You're free to take good care of your health, but you're also free not to. I love it when my kids like to use this one, and I always know there's something wrong going on in their heads. It's my body. I'm free to do whatever I want with it. and they get some tattoo somewhere or pierce something again, or they, and you go, aren't you a Christian? Yeah. It's not your body. I read that you have been bought and it belongs to the Lord. They don't always like to hear that, but it's a good religion teacher answer. And it's also biblically accurate. And it also reflects this unbelievable selfishness we're capable of when we start talking about, it's my body, or we shout out, it's my life. I'm free to live it any way I want. And you begin to understand, you can pick a freedom theme on a day like today, and we normally think of being free in our country and all the things it brings with us. And we realize that freedom, unfortunately, is the freedom to eat from the wrong tree as well as the freedom to eat from the correct tree. We realize that if there is an impact to freedom, it changes the direction of our lives. It changes how things are going to turn out. And so as you start to understand where we read these words in context from Isaiah there, we began to pick out that idea of, Jesus has come to set the captives free. Well, not every captive that's set free knows what to do with his or her freedom. All right? Some of us go off to college, and in a sense, we are now free. Anyone want to stand up and share their more intimate realities of how their first few years in college went? Oh, come on down, Paul. He gave me the old fake hand, yeah. Yeah, I'd look forward to it. We would all go home with our ears burning. I've heard some, and he knows mine too, so we'll both be quiet. But you understand, it's this word and the power of it that we have to recognize begins to affect us. And that freedom, although meant to be a wonderful freeing word, a wonderful opportunity to make good choices and decisions, frequently results in piercings and tattoos and ripping apart this and drug that and behaviors that just wretch our families apart, tear our marriages apart. Am I free to watch whatever I want on the internet? Well, I guess so. But if you watch this, it will not serve your marriage or move your life in a good direction. Can't I do this thing? Well, you have to, as a Christian, announce, yes, you can do that. You have a freedom to do that. But just because you can do that particular thing doesn't mean it will be beneficial to you or godly or something that you will want to share out loud or see projected on some screen in a church service or wherever you might picture that taking place. And so the challenge that we have right now as we get in this is to understand what God's trying to communicate. I'm going to be using primarily the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but I thought the song that Mark picked today was just great, the verses. This is song number 1, Rescuer. So come and be chainless, come and be fearless, come to the foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. You know what I hate about freedom is sometimes God's working my situations out in life are not my timing. You ever had those? Whoa! I believe there's rescue at the foot of Calvary. And God smiles and goes, but you're going to go through this and this and this and this. And you go, no, I want my rescue to be the way I want it to be. Right? I get injured. How fast do I want to get well? Yesterday. Better yet, I wish I'd have never fallen down or had the accident or whatever it is we might want to say. Well, am I really that self-centered? Yes. How does God teach me to wait upon Him? You're going to hate this one. It's like asking for patience, right? Never ask for patience. You've heard that little joke. Never ask for patience because God will give you plenty of things that don't go away for a long period of time. So you'll learn how to develop patience. Well, in these situations, in my life, just because I trust in the cross and what God has done, doesn't mean that thing, that event that's putting pressure on me, sucking the life out of me, beating me down, or whatever word you might use, is going to necessarily stop hurting. Or it's not going to necessarily become clear. Or it's necessarily going to be resolved. Because God is not as simple as, oh my goodness, Bruce, I heard you just twisted your ankle. Let's just take care of that right away. Because you don't need to learn patience. You don't need to learn long-suffering and kindness and sensitivity and understanding of people in pain. Let's just take care of you right away. And then you can tell other people if they had as much faith as you have, then they would get as quickly healed as you get healed. And so in the middle of this concept of freedom, in the middle of what we're trying to address here, I looked at this verse and says, come and be chainless. You ever notice the things that hold us are all a little different? When you're old, your feelings are different than when you're young. Okay? They just change. And the chains change. They're still chains. They're still a longing for freedom. It just happens to be in some different location, different person, different situation, or a different problem. It just varies a little bit. And so we got this prayer that we're singing in this song, come and be chainless and come and be fearless. You got cancer. I shared with you that one little moment when that was what I thought the doctor was going to announce when I had had that surgery. And they were all prepared to, I called and waited my 24 hours like I was supposed to and talked to the nurse and she goes, oh yeah, it's here, the information. And I said, well good, could you let me know how the test turned out? And she goes, sure. You could hear papers flipping and she goes, oh, no, you're going to have to wait for the doctor to call you. Okay? Well, thank you very much. All right? Now, I only know whatever length of time it was between that and I think 4 hours when the doctor finally called me at 5:30 that day or something else like that, what that felt like. But it's 4 hours I still remember. I understand that unbelievable. And the doctor goes, oh, no, everything's fine. I don't know why she didn't tell you. Thank you so much. Right? And you go, how in the world? And yet, in the middle of it, if someone hears that word, I know that feeling, at least in some extent. I haven't had it for days and days or weeks or months or whatever length of time others of you had, but I understand at least the beginning of that process. So when it goes, come and be fearless, it's one thing to be afraid of the bully at school. It's another thing to be afraid that my health will not improve. It's another thing of being afraid that my husband is not going to be faithful and my wife is cheating on me. It's another thing to be afraid that it's never going to turn out my particular situation. It's another thing to be afraid of I won't have enough money to retire. It's another thing to be afraid of what's going to happen to my son or my daughter. They seem to be going in directions and I can't turn them. Or the fear of a son or daughter that's walked away from the Lord and has now come up with their brand new religion called the religion of self, which is the oldest one in the world, but they think it's new to them. And we come to a church service with different fears, and I can't simply address freedom like the freedom to worship, because here's the truth. Some of you worshiped today, but I bet some of you didn't. That's without being particularly judgmental. It's just, boy, I hated that first song. Oh, that second song was, oh, that third, too slow, too fast. What, right? We ever go through his worship time like that? Okay. And suddenly we're in the middle of the sermon and we're really not quite in worship time, but have you worshiped? And so you have this freedom, like we pointed out, established by our country, the freedom to worship, the freedom to make a difference, the freedom to interact with people. You have the freedom to talk to somebody you don't know, to find out what's going on in their life, to ask them, could I pray for you, sir, for something this week? Did you take and make use of that freedom? Or did you do what I frequently do? Hi. You ever do it that way? And we consider ourselves free because I'm free to leave without talking to anybody also, aren't I? Yes. and you begin to recognize. So here, freedom, you begin to understand this process. Now, we've got a situation where Paul in Corinthians now is talking to the people, and he says, you know, sometimes when the word of God is preached, it's like you don't see the glory of it. It doesn't get through to you. And he uses this analogy, and he kind of uses it two ways, but he uses this analogy. Moses went up on the mountain, was in the presence of God. It says his face was radiating the glory of God, so much so that the people could not stand looking at him. It was more than their eyes could bear. So they asked him to put a veil across his face so that they would be able to hear the word. And so Paul, bringing this now to the Corinthians, says, now when the word of God is still preached, you can't handle the glory of it, and you are yet putting a veil across the word or across your face so you don't have to deal with the full revelation, the full glory of what God's trying to present to you. And so here in this particular section, it goes, as it finishes up here, it says, but their minds were made dull, for to this day, in verse 14 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It's taken away. You start to understand the glory of God in a different way. You and I do not have to be afraid of the events that took place on Mount Horeb, on Mount Sinai. And you begin to understand because we have see it through a whole set of different eyes. We see the glory of God, the redemption of Christ. We hear the impossibility of us ever living to the standard of the commandments. And we hear instead the glory of God, who is more than able to meet my needs and set me free. So come and be chainless, come and be fearless. Where? At the foot of Calvary. Those words kind of begin to tie together. And when the veil is removed, you see it. But you can sit in church and have a veil kept across your eyes, whether it's self-inflicted or whether it's dropped there by some demonic force or kept there because of some rotten preacher or something else like that. You begin to understand the key is there is this revelation that God's trying to bring out. He goes, you understand fearless is not going to be accomplished because you're not going to be fearful. It's because you're going to know who's going with you through the situation. You ever been in a situation that created fear? Fear to talk to people? Fear in a very painful or frightening situation? Fear that soldiers and police and firemen might have to go through. Fear when my child is sick. You always kind of go, but I'm still feeling this way. And I whisper to you, yes. But the glory of God is that your fear is not limiting what God's going to accomplish here. Your trust has got to be now, Lord, I am terrified in myself, but I am taking my eyes off me and I'm going to set them back on you. You see, fearlessness is not just something that just happens to you. There's this process of an exercise of faith. Do you think Peter was afraid when he had to get out of the boat? I love water. I love waves. I'd be scared to death. I'll tell you why. I don't know if I'd have enough faith. I don't know how this is going to work. It's scientifically illogical. I don't know how in the world God is going to make this happen. This could not be possibly working out for my benefit or working out for good. Haven't you been in terrible situations where God is going, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And you're answering, uh-huh, I think. You know, crossed fingers and half-truths and whisperings. Well, I trust you more today than yesterday, but only this month. And I go, there is a process that God's identifying for us in terms of freedom. Freedom permits me to be fearful even when I don't have to be. You see, one of the nice things about reading the end of the story, right? Joseph, don't be fearful. I know, they threw in a hole. Yep. And don't worry about that either, Joe. And they're going to sell you as a slave. I know, it's going to be really hard. You got to walk across the desert, and it's sweaty. And don't worry about that either. It's nothing. And then they're going to sell you as a slave. And don't worry about that, because that's no big deal either. And you're going to spend years and years of your young life in jail. But that's still not the end of the story, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All right? And you and I could be the greatest encouragers or idiots, depending upon your perspective, in the world. And we'd look at Joseph and say, why should Joseph not have been afraid? Well, the answer is something inside Joseph was understanding, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. There is a process that we get to see in this very thing where God addresses whatever our particular problem is, chainless, fearless, Calvary. And I go, just think once. There was a man who had been crippled, I think, for 30 or 40 years. And you'd be sitting there, don't worry about it. What do you mean? I'm crippled. I can't even walk. People got to bring me everywhere I go. Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. Be happy. What are you, nuts? No, be happy, because I know the story, how it ends. And then Jesus will walk along one day, and he will heal you. And people will go, well, what sin did this man commit that he had to be sick for 40 years? And the answer is, he committed no sin, neither did his parents, but that I could be glorified. You kind of go, 40 years? 30 years? So you could be glorified? I didn't read that in the fine print. But I go, there is this balance of the reality of God working in the middle of our situations. What's he doing here? Watch what it says. Now the Lord is Spirit. I'm back in verse 17, chapter 3 of Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I got another one of those meetings coming up. And you want to talk about fear? You know what the Lord's doing? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? 2x4, who do you trust? Right? I don't want to walk around going, this is so easy. I don't know why you guys can't do it. I just want you to understand, you get to live your life like Joseph. You get to live it out like real life people. But you don't have to live it always in fear and trepidation. You can begin to exercise a level of faith where you whisper, God, I know who has the end of the story in his hands. I know that you're bigger than the problem in the middle of. And I know that this pain is going to last, or whatever the situation is going to be, until such time as you want to bring about its healing. And I'm learning lessons all over the place along the way. I'm experiencing life all over the place so that one day Joseph could actually look at the wretched, scummy brothers who sold him into slavery. And he said, I have no desire to hurt you. I know you meant it for evil, but I'm going to bless you guys. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Let me bless you. And you whisper, how could something so horrible, how could something so wretched come into a situation where out of that a Joseph or a Peter or whoever you want to name can come to the conclusion and they learn what courage is and faithfulness is until one day Peter, rather than denying, run away, and fearing, he says, you're going to kill me. I understand that. But I want you to crucify me upside down, at least according to tradition. That man wasn't afraid anymore. That guy wasn't denying Christ anymore. You don't think he didn't remember that time when he denied Christ? You don't think he wasn't putting all that together to understand that God is as glorified with my life as well as my death? Didn't Paul himself say, whether I live or die, it's to the glory of God, to God's benefit? Now that's a walk of faith that God's calling us to. And the faith you have is, again, never putting yourself. The faith always is trusting in a God of mercy who worked out these things in advance, who would say to Peter, get out of the boat, walk on the water, keep your eyes on me. When he started to slip, he reached down, pulled him up. Those examples are meant to be encouragements to you and I. I have no assurance that certain things I'm in the middle of will ever go away. Those things are not necessarily meant to go away. Paul, a man of great faith, had a thorn in his flesh. We speculate what it was. He said, three times I prayed, oh God, remove this thing. And he implied with absolute faith and conviction. And God says, no, that thorn is for your benefit. Now, I don't like those kind of benefits. And I think it's okay to say that. But it's not okay not to trust God. And so now I want you to understand this last little phrasing as we get to it now. It says this. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When the Spirit floods you in the middle of a horrible situation, you walk through that situation totally differently. Everybody around you may not see your faith radiate, but the Spirit of God will be moving in you and with you and in your presence. What was happening in Joseph's life, that no matter what situation is, he managed to rise to the top. He was put at the head of Potiphar's household. He was put at the head of the jail. He was remembered at the right time and brought forward to the Pharaoh and put immediately to the head of Pharaoh's group, accumulating the food. And I go, here is the miracle of God, which he simply says, the Spirit of God is upon you, and you will reflect that out into the world. You have the freedom to reflect the Spirit or reflect what I many times feel is the pain and fear and drudgery of the world. What do you do with your next pain, your next difficulty? How do you live it? How do you carry it out? The word here is you reflect the glory of the Lord, and the word is transformed moment by moment into His likeness. I'm not where I have to be yet, but I know I'm not where I used to be. And the key point is God is in the process of transforming me. Transformation there is that metamorphosis. I was born a caterpillar. I'm kind of a mucky chrysalis right now. I can't wait till I get out of the cocoon and I get to experience finally reflecting a beauty way beyond anything that you would ever picture in a person like me. And so my invitation, my challenge, my gift to you is that the mercy of God is always from the heart of God. The Spirit of God wants to work this in your spirit. There is not something you can bring today to be more worthy. It has nothing to do with that. You don't have to do anything besides, oh Lord, set me free. And what's the word say? All right? Come to foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction at the foot of Calvary. And I like those words. They minister to my spirit. And I go, when I stand here at the foot of Calvary, Lord, and I hear you whisper or shout, it is finished. And I hear you speak to my spirit, today you'll be with me. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. And 100 other things that you bring to my mind, Lord, there is no reason for me to walk into today, tomorrow, the next day with anything but hope and focus on you. Because my hope is in you, Lord. My faith is in you. Everything is in you, Lord. Pray with me if you would. There are so many things, Lord, that rip your gospel from our hearts. Things that we sometimes even think are good or righteous. And I test how strong my faith is today compared to yesterday. And I think, oh Lord, you should be so proud of me. You just keep whispering back to me. Just trust my strength. Trust my love for you and your situation. Trust my commitment to be with you no matter what the situation is. Keep your ears and your heart open by the power of my Spirit so that you hear what you're supposed to say. Even if you get taken in front of the authorities, do not worry what you have to say. But the Spirit will give you the words at the right time, in the right order, and in the right place. Create in us, Lord, the kind of faithful obedience that leads us to the places where Joseph and Peter and other brothers and sisters have gone before, until we live in the freedom that truly is at your cross. We pray this in your name, Lord. God's people say, amen.